Lashana Tova Tiki Tevu, and welcome to the Shofar Ministry Program. This is Dan with my effervescent partner in life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, my dear, and we are especially happy every year just before God's New Year. And I know you listeners are too, because we all hope the Lord will call us up this year. And we'll talk more about that tonight as we continue our study of Hebraic Roots 101 about Rosh Hashanah's Feast of Trumpets. But as always, let us thank the Lord, this time for His 7 scheduled appointments, especially that we can have such great understanding.
Abba, Father, we thank You for Your revealed knowledge to Your church about our Jewish roots, knowing that You desire not for us to be ignorant of how things will be. Everything is in Your Word, our lamp unto our feet, that lights our way, knowing all Your prophecies will be fulfilled. Until then, may we not grow weary in spreading the good news, for one day that last trump will sound, and our lives will begin with You. In Your holy presence forever, we pray for these recent petitions, and for our lost loved one's salvation. Bless our president. Send rain to put out all the fires and calmness to the eastern gulf winds. And please give divine protection to those who are called by Your name. May tonight's program bless you and those listening. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Oh, amen.
Well, this is an exciting week.
Oh, it truly is, for today was the signing of an historic agreement and a good start to a peace in the Middle East. But it's just the foundation for what is still coming to fulfill Daniel 9:27, which then begins Jacob's trouble. I think today we should read Daniel 9:27. Start that, honey.
Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week.
So this prince, as per verse 25, who we call the Antichrist, will have Roman ties because it was the Romans who destroyed the temple in 70 AD. And this coming covenant or treaty will last 7 years. But notice it says he will confirm something already started. So today's agreement could be that foundation.
The confirmation could even happen soon after we are raptured.
It could. Like 10 days later by Yom Kippur. In fact, we cannot be here for the fulfillment of verse 27. With that said, today's foundation might take another year to be completed. Anyhow, honey, please continue in verse 27.
But in the middle of the week,
which is after 3.5 years,
he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering.
Yes, he will stop all the Jewish sacrifices that this covenant originally gives them and gives them permission to restart the sacrifices and to build a new temple on the mount.
And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate.
Okay, so this is a tricky verse, but the Hebrew word for wing is kanaf, meaning corner. So in this case, I believe it means on the corner of the temple, he will set up another abomination, which we surmise from the scriptures will be his statue for all to bow down to, as his prototype Antiochus Epiphanes did. So continue.
Even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolator.
Yes, this son of perdition's total destruction by Yeshua himself. Bottom line, well, we're going to know pretty soon. And if we don't meet you in the air, we'll be back on the air next Tuesday to talk about Yom Kippur, September 27th and 28th till sundown.
So again, as this agreement stands today, it does not fulfill Daniel 9:27.
Correct. It will have to be tweaked quite a bit to add an addendum to a portion of a land giveaway, either the Temple Mount to the UN and the Vatican, or some land to the Palestinians for their two-state solution.
Or perhaps both.
Probably both. But with that said, I want to also tell the listeners about an interesting leak reported in the Times of Israel. Remember that carrot that we talked about last week?
Yes, the dangling carrot.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is being reported that, sure enough, in order for President Trump to get the UAE and Bahrain to join the accord, is that he did assure them that the United States would not back Israeli sovereignty over any land for at least 4 years, and also with the promise that Israel would continue trying to negotiate with the Palestinians for a two-state solution. In other words, Israel would say, oh, Palestinians, just take our land and set up your own state and take part of East Jerusalem for your capital.
And that sovereignship is opposite of what Trump told Netanyahu, I think it was last July.
Mm-hmm, it was. And because of that, Netanyahu then told the Israelis he would annex parts of Judea and Samaria, and that greatly helped in his re-election in February, even though he has to share it with Benny Gantz.
So, we did see Netanyahu back down on sovereignty, and now we know why.
Mm-hmm. And not really surprising, especially after reading what Jared Kushner, his Jewish son-in-law, who is the real architect of this accord, told some reporters a few months ago.
Oh, do tell.
Well, Kushner said that Washington's goal is to ultimately save the Palestinians' two-state solution.
Well, right there he's saying divide Jerusalem.
Yes. And he also acknowledged that Israeli settlers are occupying much of, wait for it, Palestinian land.
So, he's calling it Palestinian land?
Yes. And finally, also said, Kushner said, if we keep going with the status quo of what was happening, and of course he's referring to the settlers, ultimately Israel would have eaten up all the land in the West Bank. And, of course, he was referring to Israel's previous announcement to annex parts of Judea and Samaria.
Well, that confirms there's more to come.
Assuredly. Kushner and Trump's agenda is to, besides cutting off Palestinian funding, which they already have, is to surround the Palestinians with Arabs who are willing to normalize relations with Israel to pen them in.
In other words, from the outside in.
So you can surmise that Kushner has told the UAE that if they help do this, the Palestinians will end up getting their land in East Jerusalem. But for now, we better keep that quiet. But someone leaked it.
It's a betrayal to Israel for election notoriety.
I'm afraid so. At least it appears so. But this tragedy of bribing the Arabs, well, it's going to work and ultimately fulfill Scripture. As in Joel 3, that says, Israel will divide their land that God won back for them in the 1967 miraculous war, as we talked about last week.
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm. I must say, I loathe the fact that a Jewish-bred grandson of very poor Holocaust survivors, Jared Kushner, married to our president's daughter, said what he did. And that's the bitter part. But again, the sweet part is we know this has to happen.
Well, as John said in Revelation 10, it's bitter sweet.
Mm-hmm. You have to agree, all these prophecies being fulfilled in our lifetime is pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm. The question remains, can it all happen still this month?
Well, of course it could. But if we are here after Rosh Hashanah, which is the next appointment for Jesus to fulfill, and that's this weekend, it'll likely be another year, which will also tell us that President Trump will be reelected because the Democrats would never follow through on this.
So we'll soon see.
That's a true statement.
It is sad that Israel will be in COVID lockdown over the fall festivals.
Oh, I know. All 3 weeks due to a COVID upswing allowing only small groups of 10 or less, and that's only if it's a religious assembly. And like so many other things, that too is a first.
Will they blow the shofar?
Well, my guess is yes, but since it falls on the Saturday Sabbath, not sure, because they aren't supposed to even hold a shofar in their hands on the Sabbath unless it's blown from the Temple Mount. And I can't find anywhere that they ever got permission to do so, as the Sanhedrin did request.
Unless maybe it will just be the real deal from heaven to call us up.
Well, now, that would be great, certainly.
Okay, you can send your end time questions by email to Sheila@shofarministry.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which will add you on our mailing list for our newsletter updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and newsletters are archived for your added learning.
And September's newsletter just went out yesterday, and a reminder for everyone to keep the many victims of so many disasters in your prayers. You know, word is out that many of the fires, well, they've come from purposeful arson, mostly from Black Lives Matter and Antifa. This is just so bad.
Okay. This is our last week to teach on Rosh Hashanah.
Yes, and last time we listed and gave a quick explanation of all the other names Rosh Hashanah goes by.
So, maybe without the details, just repeat the names in case someone missed last week's.
Okay. Oh, and as well, though, we will be going into more detail on the Jewish wedding because the typology is enormous. But anyhow, the other names are Chief of the Year, Yom Terah, or the Day of the Awakening Blast, the Coronation, Open the Gates, the Day of Judgment, the Day of Remembrance, and no one knows the day or the hour.
Well, because it lasts for 2 days.
And that is why Jesus said it as a big clue for us.
Which we did go into detail last week.
Yes. Also, arise, the hidden day, the last trump. And by the way, Paul knew he was exposing a great mystery when he gave the church that specific clue because it was frequently used for the Feast of Trumpets, which again this year begins this Friday at sundown, Israel's time. And it's also the anniversary of Adam's creation, which, by the way, was on the sixth day.
Oh, Friday, no doubt.
Anyhow, let's talk about the first century Jewish wedding when Jesus walked. And since Yeshua was raised Jewish, we can compare it as to how it will be with us, his bride.
And there are four phases.
Yes, the first one is betrothment. It's either arranged by the father, sometimes from birth, or the young man himself can ask, or there could be even a matchmaker, as was the case with Isaac in Genesis 24.
And we can claim all three of them.
Yes, we can. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, our matchmaker, who actually does woo us to the right situation, enhanced by others' prayers.
So never stop praying for your loved ones.
Amen. So we became betrothed when we accepted his spiritual Passover by applying the blood and inviting Jesus into our hearts and promised to love no other God. Now back in the first century, the prospective bride accepts his proposal by drinking from the cup of wine.
Then he would pay the bride price.
And if the father accepts the price, he would pull out a white linen cloth and give it to the young man. Yes, the typology here, of course, is that Jesus, too, paid the bride price with his blood on the cross and was wrapped in a white linen cloth.
Then the young man would give her gifts.
And we, too, receive gifts from the Holy Spirit. And then the young virgin would learn more about him by seeking his closer friends and talking with them.
While he was preparing a place for her at his father's house.
You know, in John 14:2, Jesus also said he would go and prepare a place for us.
And he said, I will come again and receive you to myself.
Mm-hmm. And this special place is called the Hadar, or a wedding chamber.
Isaiah 26:20.
Mm-hmm. So, back to the young virgin who would now prepare herself and also partake in a ceremonial cleansing called a mikvah.
Like our water baptism.
Yes, which is why we do total immersion, just like they did.
And, you know, so did John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm, and we do today. Then she would study her contract, and that was called a ketubah, which outlined his promises and her responsibilities.
For us, it's our Bible.
And, like the maiden, would speak to the groom's friends to learn more about him. We as well learn more about him through his autobiography, penned by Yeshua's friends. Then the maiden waits for the shout of the trumpet to go out to meet him, to escort her in a chariot to his father's house for the big wedding under the huppah.
Just like we anxiously await.
For sure. As we all long to hear that loud teruah trumpet sound to meet Yeshua for our big wedding. But first, in Yeshua's case, we will see him crowned as king. It is his coronation, as all Jewish kings had their coronation ceremony on Rosh Hashanah.
The anniversary of the creation.
Yes. And after our wedding under heaven's huppah, God will give us our rewards.
And the queen's crown.
And not just one.
What a glorious day that will be.
Oh my gosh, it's hard to even imagine the scope of it all.
Like 1 Corinthians 2:9 describes.
Yeah, for sure. Then there's the honeymoon, or the Shabuah, which means seven. Now, this is very important to understand.
Well, a Jewish honeymoon must be for a period of seven.
Exactly, because that's a complete number. In those days, it was usually for 7 days, but if you had money, well, it could last for 7 weeks. But it had to be seven. Anything less would annul the marriage. You know, let's read that scripture in Genesis 29, you know, where Jacob just realized, because it was dark, that he hadn't married Rachel, but her older sister Leah instead. And he was outraged and left the Hadar, you know, the wedding chamber, to speak with her father, Laban, who told him, verse 26, honey.
I cannot give you the younger before the firstborn.
So, verse 27 confirms the importance of the week honeymoon. So, read what Laban told Jacob.
Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years. Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as wife also.
So do you understand how important that is? Our honeymoon must be for a period of seven. And in our case, it's 7 years, not 3.5, like the mid-tribbers claim.
And the post-tribbers don't recognize a honeymoon at all.
Knowing our roots from the first century and before is how we learn how it will be with us. That's why he set up all the customs and idioms so we could compare to us. Mid and post-tribbers do not understand their first century Hebraic roots. Even many Messianic Jews don't understand their roots from the first century, only what their fathers and grandfathers taught them that has changed through the years.
Well, you know, especially through the Dark Ages.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so to prove that she was a virgin, and because all covenants were blood covenants, the marriage consummation must be proven by the blood-stained white linen cloth given to the young man at his betrothment from the father. They then remain in the Hadar for the rest of the 7 days, while guests come and go until they come out of their chamber. She is now unveiled for all to see, as they then return back to the young wife's previous home to announce it is official and stay for the reception and the marriage supper. So we too, at the end of our 7-year honeymoon in heaven, will return to earth our previous home, and from my studies, I conclude it will be on a Yom Kippur at the Great Trump, according to Matthew 24:31. And, of course, we'll be with Yeshua. And after he rids the earth of its evil, we will partake in a gala event ushered in with the Feast of Tabernacles and enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb right back here as the Messianic Kingdom on earth begins, which also just happens to be on Jesus' earthly birthday. Now, as far as divorce, only for adultery and likely be stoned to death. Now, with Jesus, the only divorce is through spiritual adultery, which is blaspheming the Holy Spirit by denying Christ as your Savior. And that means spiritual death. And Hebrews 6 also addresses that. But really, what true believer could do that? Otherwise, I believe in once saved, always saved. Jesus died for all our sins, past, present, and future. But again, who would let that sacrifice be a license to sin? If so, then the question is, are they really saved? Do they truly know him, as Matthew 7 suggests? Some might not. So, if we are still here, we'll continue with the Feast of Yom Kippur next week. And let me say again, unless one knows at least some of our first century customs and terminology, then we'll just continue to look at the scriptures through Western thinking eyes, which is why I encourage all Christians to learn even just a basic knowledge of the Jewish side of Jesus. Send me your questions on this topic, and remember, there's a boatload of knowledge on our webpage. Take advantage of it, and don't forget your libraries have computers, and we'll show you how to get to our webpage. And one more thing. Don't let the enemy tell you that you can't, or that it's over your head, or you're just too old. That is a big, big lie, just like he lies about everything. Oh, there is a supreme God who sent his only Son so anyone can have eternal life with him. There is still time. So right now, give your heart and life to the Lord. Don't wait. Admit you are a sinner and invite him in. If you really mean it, then you are sealed for his coming kingdom. And by the way, if you think you must wait till you're not a sinner, that's stinking thinking. I'm still a sinner, but now I'm saved by grace. So get saved, and then let God do the changing. Because in and of ourselves, we are nothing and will always fail. Then start reading his word, and he will supernaturally grow inside you and will change you from the inside out. Let him do it, because you really can't. It is a miracle, but it can be your miracle. So just do it. All right, I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. Hopefully we'll be meeting in the air. But number 622 through 27 says, "The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace," that true shalom. And so till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, well, you're going to prosper in many different ways. Some you won't even recognize or understand till later. But he will, and he'll protect you and watch over you. And most important, he loves you. And that, of course, you can memorize. It's from Psalm 122, verse 6. So again, I hope I meet you in the air. If not, we'll see you next time, God willing. And until then, talk about the Lord. Bring someone to Christ. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.